I used to just go with whatever meat looked good or was on sale at the grocery store. But now that I've experienced the exceptional quality, flavor, and convenience that you can get from Omaha Steaks, I'm never going back. They can build a custom food plan based on your schedule, which means less food waste and stocking up on high-quality proteins to always have on hand. With Omaha Steaks in your freezer, you're always just minutes away from a quality dinner, whether it's Taco Tuesday or a weekend feast. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference and never settle for grocery proteins again. Get flavorful, high-quality proteins delivered by visiting omahasteaks.com, plus $35 off when you use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code YUM at checkout for $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Sponsored by the Downtown Lincoln Foundation. Here is your host, Derek Pearson.
Monday. It's the Monday Madness. 11:03 in the city. We don't have enough degrees. There's only 14 degrees. Who stole all the degrees? Bring them back. You have until Friday. I expect 70 additional degrees by Saturday. Whoever's responsible, get it moving. We deserve our degrees back. That still does not remove the fact that we deserve a Monday. Boom. Boom Madness is what we're talking about. 402-464-5685. The Starter Heyman text line, Honda Lincoln Hotline. You want to be a part of what we're doing, hit us up. Say what's up, DP. What's up, Buck? What's up, fellas? And then we'll include you in the show. You can follow the live video streams as soon as Buck figures it out.
It's good now.
Question, kind sir. Buck, how the heck are you?
Yeah, can't be doing much better. I mean, we know what's in front of Nebraska basketball. Could be a special day here coming Thursday. Could be a special run of weeks. I mean, Nebraska has a chance to make a run here. This is going to be some fun.
Yeah, I keep finding this is when the deep dives and the overthink. Thursday cannot get here fast enough. It just can't. We will be helped a little by the fact that the women will play Wednesday, so that we'll draw, and we'll talk about that because That's a very interesting Richmond Spiders team that they're going to play. But it's quite the weekend. And I know I was asked the question yesterday whether this was the biggest game in Nebraska basketball history. And I don't know. So I go to I defer. Bach, kind sir, resident Husker fanatic and expert. Is this, in fact, the biggest game in Husker basketball history?
I think you've got a pretty good argument. Of course, the next game always feels like it is, but I mean, this one can set the record for Nebraska's single season record as far as wins in a season. And of course, get the monkey off your back that is not winning an NCAA tournament game. So, you know, that's a lot. Just those two sentences there, you know, those two facts, can put it right in line with that. And then you kind of think about the other games that you can point to over the years. Well, you're talking regular season compared to postseason. I mean, Nebraska's had other postseason opportunities that maybe could be in this, but they lost them. So it's basically it's the biggest one unless they lose.
Yeah, it well, I mean, I think that's it though, right? That no matter the result, this is big. This is big. I mean, as if I want to remove the connection from it and look in from the outside and say it's an opportunity for Nebraska basketball to change the culture, change perspective, to change the way people talk about it. It removes the joke, which nobody wants to be the joke, right? Nobody wants to be the butt of the joke. And there are programs that can say, hey, listen, we've won more NCAA games than Nebraska. Well, let's get the first one. Because that opens the door, that opens the gate. Bach, is it fair to say that we all think Nebraska is one of the 32 best teams in the country?
Yeah.
Is there anybody in text on you? You can tell me yay or nay. Is Nebraska one of the 16 best teams in the country?
Now I think you've got an argument.
What do you say?
I mean, if it's like currently how they're playing now compared to, you know, we always have these conversations there. I mean, they're right there. It's a cutoff. You know, they got the 13th overall seed. So that's what the committee said. They put them in there. So yeah, I mean, I would put them right in there, but toward the back portion, you start chopping down to 10, 12, maybe not.
Well, I mean, we don't have to chop to 12, 16 teams. And what it means is, when Nebraska beats Troy, that they will then have the opportunity to play a notable opponent for the opportunity to be one of the 16 best programs in the teams in the country. That's remarkable. That is absolutely remarkable. And no matter who it is that they play, Nebraska will be favored. So it's wonderful times, right? Yeah, I said when. I said when. W-H-E-N. When. I'm not... If you look at it... I, in fact, did the deep dive on Troy basketball. And, you know, you folks know that I tend to look at basketball a little bit differently than a lot of folks. So what I did was the analytics, right? The analytics will tell you one thing, but then the basketball, I ask you to break down what it is that a team does and how they do it and whether they do it well. And then can they be consistent in it? I also, hey, Bach, can you think of anybody, what do you know about Troy University?
Well, I tried to do a deep dive as well on the current team, and I got stuck on this game from 1992. I don't know if you ran into that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been spending most of my time looking at that. But, you know, I know what like all of us do. We're all experts on Troy now since last night about 6 o'clock. Right. We've tried to dive into it, see what they've got going for them. I know that they've had success in their conference, won the conference regular season tournament. Regular season and tournament each of the last 2 years with kind of different players involved. You've got a first team you got a third teamer in the All Sun Belt. You've got two brothers that go by the moniker the Red Mambas. So they've definitely got a little bit of a story of their own and haven't won a postseason game, not just at NCAA tournament. A lot of people have pointed that out, but they haven't won in the NIT. They haven't won in the CBI. So they're looking for a little bit of history themselves.
See, that it's that part. Everybody, there are no scarless teams in this tournament. Everybody's got a nick. Everybody's got a scar that they're healing. Everybody has a performance that they're not satisfied with. Everybody has a thing. And quite frankly, parity exists in this tournament. Like, there's some depth and parity exists because we can look at some 8-9 seeds and see them against anybody other than Duke and Arizona, Michigan, and see opportunities for Cinderella to dance and dance for a while. So it's not surprising to go, well, Nebraska hasn't played well lately. Well, Nebraska's played pretty well considering they're playing. If you said, and this is perspective, Nebraska's 6-6 in its last 12, right? Mm-hmm. That's the fair number?
Yeah.
In the Big Ten. In the Big Ten. Nebraska was 500 in the Big Ten. There are we can go back a long time. Nebraska being a 500 team in the Big Ten for any duration of time hasn't always been a given.
These are what you're aiming for,
bruh. What are we talking about? Like, this is This is just me, Bach. This is a celebration week because the regular season that Nebraska had should be celebrated. Is that not true?
It is. And I think it will. I think maybe it will be more once it's all said and done. But this is somewhat of a postseason sport.
Since when?
Well,
for Nebraska.
Not for well.
Oh yeah. look. We have to stop moving the goalposts.
Well, I'm saying in general in college basketball, just like almost any other sport. I mean, they're mostly postseason sports.
Really?
I would think so. You don't crown regular season champions.
Actually, you do. You play a whole schedule. Before the postseason is an entire schedule of 20 plus games that you have to go through and maneuver through, stay healthy through, figure out who you are over the duration, because the tournament is a one and done. The regular season is a long game. It is a marathon. And all of your faults. For one day, you can be anything you want to be. That's why it's March Madness. But for the whole season, you have to have some personality, some culture, some tendency. You've been peer-reviewed and peer-reviewed again. You face teams twice. Good teams. Teams of your caliber. Teams of your level. What was Nebraska's record in the Big Ten this year?
15-5.
That's a pretty... Does that not matter?
Oh, it all matters. I mean, we're all celebrating the best regular season Nebraska's had. I just think right now is particularly the time to now focus on the tournament.
The tournament's coming, and there's nothing we can do about that. We don't control it. We don't know what version of Nebraska or what version of Troy shows up. We've learned that about tournaments, not only Nebraska, but across the board. In full March Madness, if you ask Virginia basketball who it is, it will tell you that currently it's a pretty good team. It had the number one team in the country on the ropes, had an opportunity to win the game, played punch for punch with Duke. They will also tell you they are also the team that lost to UMBC as a one seed. And then the team that bounced back and won the national title after that. You're the accumulation of all the things you are. Nebraska basketball is currently playing at a level that we haven't seen before. Even after losing in the Big Ten tournament. But they lost to a pretty good team. A team on a heater. Like, I don't think it would have mattered. Ask Michigan. Purdue on a heater? Ask all the teams that face Purdue in the Big Ten. That's a different team. They're playing currently at a different level. And in full, Nebraska can get on the same heater that they were on. They can find that version of themselves. And this is a really good time for it, yes. But do we see a way that Nebraska plays down to Troy? Yes. More likely, they play to their own level and get the win. That's the more likely of the two. Yes, you remember the Red Mamba. You mentioned the Red Mambas. Tell me if you've heard this before. You know, sons of coaches playing hard and playing well and being disciplined and being crowd favorites. Well, yeah. those are the boys. Those are the Campbell boys. And they've got some players on this team. They've got some athletes on this team. I saw them. I watched the full game of them winning their tournament. So I watched their full tournament play, all the games of the tournament. And then I went back to find out, because, again, that's one perspective. But if you go back into this thing that is the season for them, they had a couple of games where – they played against James Madison, and I mean, they were lost, bro. They were lost. It was not an appealing. You would not have said, "Hey, this is a tournament team." That's how bad it was. And worse than that, now go up and down. Early in the season, they play USC and play a triple overtime game where USC has to make a desperation three to win the game, and they do. But that's a game that USC led by double digits in the second half, Troy battles back. USC did some USC things. We're familiar with what USC can do to their own success. But then the shots start falling. And it becomes a problem. And, I mean, Bach, they're shooting from 28 feet. Free and clear. Like, hand down, man down. It's a thing when you play Troy. If they're hitting. If they're not hitting, you let them. You let them shoot it. Because I saw them against Appalachian State. Now, I saw them score 106 in triple overtime against USC. I also saw them score 44 points against Appalachian State at home. And they were terrible. But they scored 44 points against App State. So then you have to ask, what happened? They shot the ball. This is a team. When Troy shoots it, they're competitive. They're tough to defend when the shots are going down. But when the shots aren't going down, sound familiar? When the shots aren't going down, right? And this is a different kind of team that they're facing. Nebraska's more talented than App State. They're more talented than JMU. They're more talented than Louisiana Monroe. They're more talented than South Alabama. They're more talented than Southern Miss. Southern Miss paddled them. They were just too big, too strong. Held them to 65 points. This is a team that averages 80 points a game. We know Nebraska's success level when they score 80 points. So then I'm led to this, can Troy stop Nebraska? And Nebraska has options. They can play big man ball. Now, Bach, if I said that this would be a great Bear K triple-double game, what would your reaction be?
I mean, I'll take it any time. He hasn't been asked to score a whole lot, and I think he's fell into his role a little bit better. But, I mean, then you're talking about running the offense through him, too, more less so than Rink. So, yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. I wouldn't be holding my breath for it.
There's nobody on Troy who can defend Rink Mats. There's nobody on Troy who can defend Bearcat. I'll repeat that. Now, nobody on this team, on this Troy basketball team, is skilled enough and set up enough to go toe-to-toe with Rink or Bearcat, top of the key, facilitate, dribble drive, pick and roll, crash to the basket, get to the midline under the hoop, drop the leg, catch, turn, shoot the jumper, pump fake, mic and drill, whatever things you want to put in play against Troy for those two bigs. There's nobody on Troy who can defend that. Now, the other problem with that is on the other end of the floor, Troy will pull its bigs out and make Bearcat and Rink defend in space. And if you remember that there are options where one big on the floor gives you an advantage, it provides a disadvantage as well. Who operates and is effective with the off-balance thing that you're going to be asked to do? Sam Hoiberg will have an opportunity against one of the Campbell Mambas. But I don't think Campbell can defend Sam. I think Sam will get by him defensively. And this is where Sam on the dribble drive, distribute, kick to the shooters, and for the corner three, or kick to the big, dive into the basket. Troy doesn't handle that well. But when Troy is shooting well, they're tough to defend. Then it becomes, hey, they'll let you get your two with your big because they're going to come down and try to knock down a three. I said before Nebraska played Purdue. Nebraska's going to take 33s. They need to shoot 40%. Ideally, I wanted them to shoot 40%. Now, length matters. Length matters. And I don't think that Troy is long enough to interrupt Nebraska's shooters from getting open looks and threes. Now, hey, Bach, have we seen games this year where Nebraska's three-point shooters missed open threes?
Yeah.
And we've also seen Nebraska where they're defending three-point shooters, and it didn't go well. right? Shooters on a heater. That's college basketball. And now we're talking about two of the best 70 teams in the country. Shooting matters. Being effective matters. Foul play matters. Like, this is one where I think, and it's just me, that if Nebraska goes big and plays big, it can get some of Troy's top shooters in foul trouble. And they're not deep. They've got a starter saying that I'm not sure what his, they said, you know, they weren't sure if he'd be available or not. 6'9", 6'10", 6'9 and a half, actually. Don't know if he'll be available. If he's not available, then Dowd has to play in the space. They've got kind of an electric scorer who replaced him. Their sixth man is a bit of a scorer. Think Frager, right? That comes in and changes the pace of the game. He's now a starter because of the other big. But I also think this may be a one where the rotation changes. Bearcat could end up sitting on the bench, and it could be Frager alongside. This would be also not be a bad day for Cale Jacobson, because Cale and Sam against the Campbell brothers, pretty good basketball, quite frankly. Pretty good matchups. Jamarcus Lawrence, they do not have an answer for Jamarcus Lawrence if Jamarcus is on. And again, Nebraska has to have the two best players on the floor. And I don't think that's asking too much. And I don't care who the two best players are. I'm okay if it's Sanford and Frager. I'm okay if it's Sanford and Rink. I'm okay if it's Bearcat and Rink. I don't care who it is. But two Nebraska players have to be the best players on the floor and have to shoot the ball well. This Troy tries to get extra possessions. They try to get you to change your pace. James Madison put some full court press on them a little bit, which changed the game around. I'm not sure Nebraska is going to do that. App State said, fine, we don't care. We're just going to lock you down. And they had a terrible shooting night against App State. I mean, so bad that, like, I didn't know the team, but I felt bad watching the game. Bach, you had those nights where you, I know you're a shooter, but you ever had those days where everything looks good, it feels good, and it's just not going down?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what that looked like. I want to give you the numbers. They played App State, and again, they were favored. They were 4 for 27 from three. Yeah, that's the face. Bach.
That's not a good percentage.
Bach, they were 4 for 27. Now, they shot pretty well in the tournament. But what happens to shooters in the big arenas? When you go from playing at Troy, which is a nice building, to going and playing in an NBA arena, that spatial difference for a shooter? Bach, have you shot in the big rooms before?
Yeah, I mean, it does change your depth perception.
Yeah, it's a different look, right? Yeah. It feels different. You think about it more than that. Like, you're forcing shots. You're forcing the feel. That's what Troy has to deal with. Nebraska's played in the big buildings. So there are some advantages. But in my head, this is the biggest game in Nebraska history because it changes so much of the conversation. But then here's the question I'll ask you, and we'll go to break, and the Texan can tell me whether they were. I want Bach's answer to this. When they win, when Nebraska beats Troy, Bach, what's the conversation for the fan base? Will you exhale? Or does the goalpost move and immediately you just go, yeah, but. So we'll get Bach's response to that after the Huskers win. We'll get that when we come back to One-on-One.
Download our app by searching 93.7 The Ticket in your app store. You're listening to One-on-One with DP on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.